Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. We are the Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We'd like to thank you for taking the time to be a part of this hour. It has been a long day. I don't know about you, but there's something about the Word of God when you take time.
Recording in progress.
When you take time to share or even immerse yourself in the Word of God, there is a release. There is a release. So I don't know about you, each and every time that I get into the Word, even if I'm exhausted, when I come out, I feel refreshed. So it's a blessing. It is truly a blessing. For those of you who are listening by internet, if you'd like to call in and participate online, there's two ways that you can call in. You can call in the Blog Talk Radio, which is 347-237-4054. And then you would type in just hit the number one if you have a question at that particular time. You can also connect to us on Zoom. And the new Zoom number is 503-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the passcode for that is Psalm 23. And the call-in number for that, I'm going to ask Dr. Suzanne, are you there for the call-in number? If you could give the call-in number, are you available? Amen. Amen. There is a call number for Zoom also. I just do not have it in front of me right now. But we're going to move forward with the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your guidance and your direction. Keep us close to you, Heavenly Father, and let us walk by faith and not by sight. As we study your word, Heavenly Father, let us gain understanding. You said in all things we should gain understanding. So now I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would give our minds clarity, give our hearts the receptive and tender love that you have given us, that we might receive it in your word, Heavenly Father, and that we would apply it to our heart as well as our walk. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
As we move forward with the Word of God, we are coming out of Isaiah 40, 12 through 13, and then we're going to complete it with 25 through 31. That's Isaiah 40. 12 through 13, and then we're going to complete it with Isaiah 40, 25 through 31, all in Isaiah 40. Amen. And the word of the Lord reads as such: Who has measured the waters in the hollow of the land? God's hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, who as his counselor has instructed him? We're going to go into a Bible study. We're going to go into a Bible study, and we're going to go into line by line. We're going to be in line by line. And my title for this evening is I Found It. I Found It. As we go into Isaiah 40, 12 through 13, I'm going to read the scripture, and then we're going to just look and see what's taking place in here. And we're going to do a historical background just to see what's taking place and get a better understanding of what Isaiah is saying here. For 12 through 13, who has measured the waters in the hollow of the land? God's hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains and scales of the hills. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord as his counselor has instructed him. Here we're looking at the book of Isaiah, and what Isaiah is saying here, he's saying to the people that he's giving them there's two things he can give and Isaiah gives here. It can be a prophetic message, or it may be a message of judgment. When we look at Isaiah, the first, second, and the third Isaiah, first Isaiah from 1 through 39, it talks about God's word spoken through a prophet as a warning and judgment. It is a warning and judgment that we're looking here when these questions are being asked. God has seen the injustice among God's people. In addition, he also sees what's going on in time and also in the lives of our time now. We're looking at injustice among God's people. We're looking at mistrust, losing a loss of trust in the political system. We're looking at political alliances. Political alliances instead of an alliance with God. So Isaiah is here. He's a prophetic, he's a prophet, and he's given a prophetic witness of the power of God, the power of God. And at this time, the nation of Israel, they were facing a threat to the Assyrians at this time. They were facing a threat during this time. And this threat was from the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom, which would fail to be, which at that time fell to a foreign, now the capital city of Samaria was the last northern kingdom to be defeated. That was the last city to be defeated. And then the Babylonians came and took what remained of the people's land and their hopes. They crushed Jerusalem, which was the capital city of Judah during that time. And the people were not allowed to return to Judah. Could you imagine your land being taken from you at this time and not allow, and no one allowed the kingdom, the kings at this time, not allowing you to be able to return to your homeland? What a travesty. What a travesty. We're talking about where the Babylonians and the Persian leaders, which were considered Cyrus. Cyrus was allowed the people to return back to their land. He gave them opportunity to turn back to land. God's people had been in exile for almost five decades. They had been in exile. That means they had been excommunicated from where they lived for five decades. And then they had been instructed by the prophet of Jeremiah to put their works together, and they could return home to work for the welfare of the city. They were able to return at this time, but they had to work for the welfare of the city. And Isaiah comes and tells them, he gives them a new revelation, that they must feel fear, that they must feel the fear of what was to come and whether they had to start all over again. He was explaining to them that if they turned their backs on God, if they lost their faith in God, that when they returned, that there was going to be a judgment. There was going to be a judgment because of what they had to go through. They forgot that God was the one who measured the waters. God was the one who had his hand over the heavens. He marked the heavens with a span. God exposed the dust of the earth in a measure. Can you imagine weighing the dust? Can you imagine weighing each single piece from the dust and being able to measure that? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine when they're saying here, when Isaiah is saying that God weighed the mountains in scales and put the hills in balance so they did not fall? He's talking about God, God's hand. God had control of the whole world. God was the one who was the creator of it all. But at this time, the people had forgotten who God was. They had forgotten. And so they went into exile. They were placed, they were displaced. And they lost hope. They lost hope. And when I think about that, I think about today. Are we moving closer to God or further away from God? And as Isaiah is saying that the further that we move away from God, there's going to be judgment. There's going to be judgment. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I know that as we go through these days, as we go through these years, things are happening all around us. But God has protected you and I from the travesty that's going on around us. We have not been displaced from our homes. We have not been displaced from our land. I think I spoke earlier just thinking, what if it hit our land and you and I was displaced? We had to leave and should not return to our land, to our homes. Where would we be? Where would we be? The comforts of our homes removed. The comforts of the things that we enjoyed and we took for granted removed. Taken away. Mm-hmm. What would become of you and I? Isaiah is saying here to the people. That's what he's saying to the people. When the northern kingdom has failed to foreign powers, they were lost. They were lost. They were displaced. They had nowhere to go and all hope. Sometimes I imagine if anything, a travesty fell on you and I, do we lose hope? Or do we look at the situation and continue to believe that God, he still has his hand on you and I?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That he still has his hand on our lives. That he's the same God that we wake up and we pray to. He's the same God that we wake up and give thanks for the little. Same God. Do we have that same attitude if we are displaced? If the comforts of your homes are no longer, do we still look to the hills for where our help come from? My brothers and my sisters follow the news, but we look at it, we hear the news every day. Sometimes it's a good idea just to imagine. Just imagine. What if? What if? I mean, if there's going to come to a time, there's going to come to a time when God is going to return. God is going to establish his kingdom. And through that, there's going to be some turmoil. There's going to be some challenges in our minds. In our mind. And so Isaiah is just reminding them, he's letting them know that there is injustice. He sees what the northern kingdom is going through. He sees the threat of the Assyrians. He sees that. He sees the northern, the foreign powers establishing their kingdom. He sees that. He sees that. You see, God is the God that we pray to of this earth, and he's also the God of Israel. Many people will probably be completely lost. Many people will feel, and the question should not be dismissed, what if? What if? Can we imagine at the time, at this time, the lament that they were going through? The depth of their lament because of their loss.
Mm-hmm.
Could we imagine that? Take a glimpse into what Isaiah is saying, situation. Could you imagine the length of lament that they were going through? Everything was horrific. Everything was living as exiles with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Psalms 137, it's a little about the suffering at this time. Listen to this. We go to what David says in Psalms. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. And we remember Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps. For there our captors asked for us sing songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. Just take a minute and take a glimpse. Put yourself there. And they said, tormentors said to them, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, here he says, David says, how can we sing songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? How can we sing songs when we're in a foreign land? How can we sing with joy when we're in a foreign land? Captive. How can we? Take a glimpse of that, my brothers and my sisters. Take a glimpse of that. Can you think of the depth of lament that they was going through? They were suffering. I'm talking about the people of God suffering so great. There was a feeling of abandonment. Could you imagine the abandonment that they must have felt? Could you imagine the trepidation or the fear that they were experiencing while they were being tormented? Take a glimpse situation and imagine how you would have responded. At that time, their suffering, was so deep that some people that they couldn't hear God. Suffering was so great that they felt they could not hear God. Abandoned. It says, hear the word of God of grace and love. Hear the word of God Hear the word of love. Hear the word of grace. I want them to be reminded that no matter what they're going through, do not forget who has all the power. Remember God's steadfast love and his faithfulness. I never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Take a glimpse down that road. Can you hold on to that during your suffering? God's steadfast love, faithfulness. Can you hold on to that while you're in exile? What say you? What say you? I'm sure that their weariness and their strength have been lost. Tired from the struggle. Tired from being tormented. Tired of knowing that they were in exile. Tired. Weary. Times weariness can threaten our own relationship with Christ. Weariness. So tired that we turn our backs to God. Who is the God that's the overcomer when we're going through what we're going through? And here, Isaiah gives a terrifying message. But I believe that in this book that we are supposed to look, take a glimpse of it and remember that no matter what we may be going through, no matter how bad a situation may be, the suffering, the grief, the loss, that we are to be reminded of God's steadfast love, knowing that God has made a promise, knowing that when you may be on your sick bed, knowing that God is going to raise you up. He's going to raise me up through my suffering, through my aches, through my pain. God is going to raise me up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we reverence God for who he is, when we reverence God. He is the God Almighty. He is the God who has his hand on you and I, on the whole earth. He is a God that will always be with us. Why? Because he said, I found it. I found that God has brought me through so many situations that I thought was going to be my worst. Found it. I found that God is true to his word. I found it. I found that God is a God that cannot change. I found that God is the God that gives me courage in my dire situation, through my suffering, through my fear, that God is the one who gives me the courage. He gives me the wisdom to be able to know who he is and not doubt him. That's why we come and study the word of God, to try to get a glimpse of our weariness, to get a glimpse of what it would be like if we were in exile, our comfort zone being displaced. Isaiah is reminding you and I, take our eyes off of God. My brothers and my sisters, I don't know what you may have experienced. God has always brought you through. God has always brought you through. God has always been there with you and I. But every once in a while, God wants us to look into the depth of the lament of those who became lost. And just imagine how they lamented, the sorrow and the suffering that they went through. And then imagine that when we hold on to God's unchanging hand, we can enjoy our suffering. We can enjoy our hardship because we know that God is going to create a pathway so that our lives will be peaceful. Our lives will be peaceful. We realize here that this is a sinful world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. God knows how to handle our hardship. God knows how to handle our suffering. God knows how to continue to make us to trust in him in all things, not some things, but all things. The beauty of it is that when you surrender your life to the will of God, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. God can take whatever you was going through and turn it around. I know that I found it. I found happiness in Jesus. I found peace in Jesus. I have found love in Jesus. And I know that I'm living each day for Jesus. Every day that I wake up, it's not on my own accord, but it's because of the love of Jesus waking me up and allowing me to experience brand new, allowing me to become more, to become stronger, to strengthen my faith as I continue crying with him, to lean on him, to depend on him. And that I find that my situations aren't as bad as I thought they were. They weren't as bad as I thought they were. Our minds can take us in so many different directions. But my brothers and my sisters, clean your lenses. I need to cleanse my lens so that we get a clear glimpse of what God is doing each and every day in our lives. God wants us to see clearly. He wants our faith to be stronger. He wants our testimony to be louder. He wants our walk to be a walk of boldness. Is there anything too great for God? Anything? There's nothing too big for the God I serve. There's no situations that I can go through that's too big for my God to handle. Nothing can separate you and I from the love of God as long as we continue to walk with Him. Grace and mercy to follow you and I for the rest of our lives. His goodness to overwhelm you and I. His love will be poured out with more than we can handle. There's nothing greater than the peace of Christ. Nothing greater. God wants you and I to continue to stretch your hand out. Put your hand out. And know that we should not fear anything. And know that there is no other God. He's a jealous God. But he wants us to remind us that there's suffering going on that we know nothing about in other countries. There's suffering going on that we can't even handle because God has his hand on you and I. And we have to continue to lift our prayers up in unity, to be united as kingdom believers, lifting up the name of Jesus, not when we're in dire situations, but do it in season as well as out of season. The love of Christ is so great that we can't even imagine. He's loving you and I even when we don't even know it. His grace is so love. No other love is greater than Jesus Christ. That he chose to give his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and I. Even though that this world was sinful, even though that people had turned their backs on God, doing anything and everything, he saw the best in you and I. He looked at you and said, you're mine. You're mine. I love you so much that you will be tempted. You will be tried. But you will not be hurt. I love you so much that even when you can't see your way, he loves you and I so much that he gave his life so that you and I can have life. What greater love is that? What greater love is that? I call it the supreme love. A supreme love. Is there anything too great for God? Is there anything too great that you feel that you cannot do for you? Is there anything in your life that you feel that God can't handle? I say to you, my brother, my sister, turn it over to him. Give him your all. Your all and all. Not just part of you, but all of you. Surrender your lie to God. And I guarantee you that God will open windows that you can't even imagine. God has gifts waiting for you that you can't even imagine. All he wants you to do is just surrender. The word of God says, though I stand at the door and knock, if anyone will come in and sup with me, and I with them. Can you imagine allowing the Lord to come into your heart? Surrendering your whole heart, your whole being over to God? God doesn't want just part of you. He wants all of you. All of you. Your whole heart. Your whole being. The very air that you breathe is because of that you breathe is because of God. Don't doubt him. Don't take him for granted. Don't lose sight of the power of God on worldly things. Focus on God. You see, my brother, my sister, only what we do for Christ will last. Let me say that again. My goodness. The word says, taste and eat and know that I am good. Only what we do, what does that mean? That means that you can go and gain the world. You can gain the world. You can have everything that you want in the world. And lose your soul. Where do you want to go when Jesus returns? Don't you want to go to a better life that's already been prepared for you? That's why Jesus is constantly knocking and knocking and knocking. And after you just surrender. My brothers and my sisters, take off those rose-colored glasses and see God for who he is. A kind and loving God. A God that cannot fail. But see, you have to believe that with your whole heart. I said surrender your whole heart. You have to believe it with your whole heart. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. There are so many things that we don't see in this world. We don't know how it's going to work out. But as long as we have faith in Christ, it will always work out. Because God is a God that cannot lie. Cannot lie. Don't you surrender your life over to Christ. As we come to a close, repeat after me. God. I am a sinner. I turn my life over to you.
I turn my life over to you.
My whole heart and my whole being.
My whole heart and my whole being.
You are the very breath that I breathe.
You are the very breath that I breathe.
Help me.
Help me.
To become all yours.
To become all yours.
And I will give my life.
And I will give my life.
To you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray this prayer.
I pray this prayer.
Faith that glorifies God. I found it. I found the secret to life. I found the secret to life. If you only believe. May God bless you. As we come to a close, I'm looking at the time. Are there any comments at this time? Any comments anyone would like to share? Any comments?
Well, my comment is, brother, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. These verses just remind us of who God is, that He is Almighty. I like the version that you had that spoke of the dust, that He even measures the dust. And to us, dust is weight, you know, that is nothing. But everything is important to God. And everything was planned as part of His wonderful plan, that He's our creator, that He's our provider. And if He's concerned with the dust and measures the dust, just imagine what He does with us, how much He loves us, you know? Made in His image.
Mm-hmm.
So He's concerned about all that concerns us. And then the other piece that you mentioned about, I was thinking about the mountains and measuring the earth, how we say He can move mountains, meaning that He can move hindrances and turtles that may be in our way.
Mm-hmm.
But He can actually move mountains.
Amen.
Literally move a mountain.
Amen.
That's just awesome. God is so awesome.
Let there be an earthquake.
Amen. Amen. But He can do it all. He can do it all.
Mm-hmm. People's minds change if there is an earthquake or something happens that they are not familiar with. Things change. And God wants us to be reminded that He controls it all.
He controls it all.
Are there any other comments? Any other comments?
Oh, and the other thing is, there's none that compares to Him.
None.
There's none that compares to Him. Mm-hmm. And we acknowledge God, what we see in the Bible, and we do it to human beings today, do it to believers today, do it to acknowledge God. What do they call it? The ABCs.
Mm-hmm.
That we acknowledge God, and then we get so comfortable that we start to backslide and take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
That's the B. And then the C is we find ourselves back in captivity or having to be chastised again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Good point, Jason. Good point. Thank you.
And he still loves us.
Amen. Still loves us, no matter what. No matter how. As long as we continue to surrender and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
God wants us to continue to return to Him. And we're going to be deceived in so many ways. But God wants us to turn to Him. Are there any other comments? Then all my children, let's become a prayer. God of mercy and grace, we thank you. We give you thanks for all the gifts that you have imparted in each and every one on this line, even those who wanted to be here, and those who were here and had to go to another line. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would continue to allow us to know ourselves better. Let us know ourselves better, Heavenly Father. And as we understand ourselves better, we can understand your grace and mercy and be grateful that you provide for our every need. So we say thank you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, I pray that you would give us strength. Let us do what we need to be done for you. Use us as vessels, Heavenly Father, as we go out into the world, not ashamed of the gospel. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week. I think this is Bishop Harris sitting in for Pastor to pray for his
in a crowded room.
Amen.
Haunted by the questions in my mind. It's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I had lost it seems from the shadow of a dream that used to be. I can look beyond the sky, deep into the Father's eyes, and see that there is hope for one like me. I can begin face the dawn.